Buenas noches. Oh, your Spanish is good. It is great to be here. I'm feeling better and better every hour. I don't know, some were praying for me maybe. I've been feeling a bit under the weather, but I'm feeling better. I don't think I'm going to faint in the pulpit tonight. If you turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I spoke in the morning, and the main point was fight now, rest later. Now's the time to fight in this life. While we have life in our bodies here, it's time to fight battles for the Lord, facing giants. We can rest for all of eternity once we're in heaven. But I want to clarify, the battle that we're fighting is a spiritual battle. We're not to go and do jihad and in a physical battle, killing other people physically, but we're in the spiritual battles. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 12 say this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have made us your soldiers in this world. And we pray that we might rely on you using the sword of the Spirit, going into battle with prayer. Help us, Lord, to realize that we're in a spiritual battle. And it's a serious battle. Pray, Lord, that you would encourage us with your word. You'd help us to take these things seriously. Put this time into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, verse 10 there. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." Where we live, in the jungles of Peru, in the villages that I visit, and I have about 30 villages that I kind of visit in a circle, in a circuit. And there are a lot of legends and beliefs that a lot of the villagers believe and have. One of them is of the Tunchi. El Tunchi is the spirit of someone who has died and had lived in that village. He died, and his spirit kind of goes vagando, flying around from place to place where he used to live as in the body, and he'd go around and almost terrorize different people and go and visit different places in the jungle. And the Tunchi makes this sound. Fwing, 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 fwing. And the maligno, which is the devil, comes behind him trying to capture this spirit, and he says, "Fwing!" Now, everyone in the villages has heard the Tunchi and the maligno, which is going after the Tunchi, trying to capture the spirit and take him to hell. Everyone has heard this, and everyone is terrified when they hear the Tunchi. I'm like the only one that has never heard it. But for them, or to them, it's very, very real. I have kind of come around, and I'm starting to believe a little bit more some of their legends than I did when I first arrived there. But definitely one thing is true. We're in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual battle. And oftentimes, we don't even realize it. It's interesting that the devil works in different ways in different cultures. In the jungles of Peru, he's very effective at getting people into bondage to fear of the spirit world. Whereas here he's more effective maybe convincing people that he doesn't exist, and neither does God, neither does heaven or hell. It just, you know, we all just came into being by primordial slime that evolved over millions of years. I mean, we're educated people. These are things we know. Science has proven it. That's a joke. You can laugh at that. Here's a quote for you by C.S. Lewis. There is no neutral ground in the universe. Every square inch is claimed by God and counterclaimed by the devil. There's no neutral ground. Every square inch is claimed by God and then counterclaimed by the devil. Spiritual battle going on all around us, whether we realize it or not. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. We have a spiritual battle. Acts chapter 19, verse 15. There's a story there about these exorcists. They're kind of wannabe exorcists, the sons of Sceva. And they're going around trying to exorcise demons. And it's very interesting what the demon-possessed, the demons say through this man, through this demon-possessed man. They turn around and they look at the sons of Sceva and they say, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? A couple of things are interesting here. The demons knew who Paul was. I mean, Paul was on his radar. That's incredible. I think it was Leonard Ravenhill who said, one of my goals in life is to be on the devil's most wanted list. I'm not so sure that I would want to say that. That's it's kind of a scary thing to say, but these demons knew who Paul was. He was on their radar. I want to be known in hell. Ravenhill said that. Once I was in a village, and we have these conventions, and all the believers from the different villages come into the one village that we've chosen for a convention. It's really exciting. A lot of times in the villages, the churches will have 10 or 15 people, but when we get together, there's 300, 400 people that come to the conventions. And in these conventions, I'll be teaching and preaching 8 hours a day, sometimes more. And meetings kind of start at 5 o'clock in the morning. They go almost till 11 o'clock or midnight sometimes. And the local witch doctor in the village, somebody had paid him one time to do curses on me and hexes and things. And he had opened up guinea pigs and was sticking needles into the liver and different things like that. And the brothers and sisters were really praying for me that the Lord would protect me. You know, I was kind of, when I heard about the witch doctor doing this, I was actually kind of encouraged that I'm on their radar. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness. And we need to realize it. I mean, oftentimes we think the struggle is against our spouse, or a struggle is against our children, or you have the struggle against your boss at work, or our struggle is against the government, or our new president, or the old president, or the one who could have been president. And our struggle isn't, that's not it. It helps me a lot just to, when I'm in the middle of a struggle, to remember, my struggle is not against this person. It's not against flesh and blood. This is a spiritual battle, and the devil wants to take me down. My struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Being strong, in, not in your own might, but in the strength of his might. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 14 to 17, this is the story where Gehazi, he's the kind of apprentice prophet to Elisha, and Elisha has been telling the king of Israel all the moves of the king of Syria, and the king of Syria finds this out, and he's so upset, so he goes to capture Elisha, the prophet. And it says this in verses, starting in 14, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 14. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night, and they surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. That's an incredible story. All of a sudden, all that Gehazi can see is the Syrians. He gets out early in the morning, 5:30 in the morning, and the Syrians are surrounding. He goes back inside and he tells Elisha, and Elisha's sitting there, he's got his Bible open and he's reading, and he's got his coffee on one side and maybe a donut or something, and doing his morning devotions. And then Gehazi comes in. "You're not going to believe it. There's hundreds of soldiers out there. The Syrians have come to get us." And Elisha, it seems like he doesn't even get up and look. He's just, "Oh, Lord, open his eyes so that he might see." And then Gehazi all of a sudden can see, here an angel, there an angel, everywhere an angel. There's angels everywhere, chariots of fire, and they're all surrounding the man of God, protecting him. I mean, what an encouragement. I wonder if those are the same chariots of fire and angels that took Elijah up in the whirlwind. And here they are protecting Elisha. What an encouragement. Once we were driving between our town of Tarapoto and another city, Moyobamba. It's about a 2-hour drive, and we had to drive it at about 9:30 at night or so, and so it was dark, and it's a winding, hilly road, and through the jungle, and we came around one curve, and there was a bunch of people there, and they were yelling and waving their arms, and I thought, what in the world is going on? Everybody in this, there's a whole bunch of people. They must all want rides, and we had a full car, so I was like, well, we can't stop to pick anybody up. And so I just kept on going. I went around the next curve, and there's a whole bunch of people there, and they're waving their arms and screaming. I was like, what is going on? Everybody in this area wants a ride, and we just can't pick anybody up. Go around the next corner, and there's just one lady now, and she's screaming like a wild lady, trying to stop us for some reason. Everybody here is weird. I go around the next corner, and there's rocks in the highway, and there's a couple of guys standing there with ski masks on and machine guns. And the guy with the nearest guy, the other ones with the machine guns, they had stopped some cars, and it was an assault. And they had one guy on the ground, and they were beating his head into the asphalt. And we had pulled right up. It's dark, but we pull up with our headlights on. And I pull up, I'm within 5 feet of the guy with the ski mask, the watchman with the ski mask and the machine gun, and he's looking. Like this. He's the lookout guy. And he just like looks right through us. He didn't even see us. It was amazing. I really think that the Lord blinded him. I threw it in reverse and went peeling out of there, and I didn't quite do it exactly like they do it in Hollywood movies or things. But we escaped. I really feel like it was kind of the reverse of this story with Gehazi in Elisha. God blinded the guy. Let me give you this quote here. The opening of our spiritual eyes will be the silencing of our fear. The clearer we see the power of God, the less we will fear the calamities of this world. The opening of our spiritual eyes. If we could just realize that we're in a spiritual battle, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you might be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's where our battle's at. We've got to be fighting a spiritual battle, not a physical one. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Another verse that indicates our spiritual battle. It says this, "Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a lion, seeking to devour whom he will." The devil is like a lion, prowling around, and he wants to make you dinner. We live in the villages. We don't live in the villages. We live outside the villages. But in these villages, another one of the ideas there that they have is something called Yakumama. Yakumama is like an anaconda. An anaconda, only the Yakumama is like 100 meters long, 300 feet. I've never seen Yakumama, but everybody in the villages has seen it. I'm waiting to see it. Sometime I'm in the boat. But they say that it has a lion-like head, and he'll raise up his head, and he's got these eyes that will, they're actually like magnets, and they will suck you in. He's got spines on his back and everything. So if you, Yakumama raises her ugly head, you need to not look at her. Do not look at Yakumama, because if you do, she'll suck you in. I like to use their legends and beliefs as illustrations when I'm preaching. Sometimes I like to use this one. It's a great illustration of the world. You lock into the world and it will suck you in. It will suck you in. Don't look at Yakumama. We're in a spiritual battle, whether we realize it or not. Once again, I just want you to almost memorize these verses right here. Maybe many of you already do. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. Another verse talks about our spiritual battle. It says this, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. As an angel of light. He's got thousands of years of practice. He's really good at it. Satan used to be an angel. He's a fallen angel now and taken probably a third of the angels with him. But he's really good at posing as an angel of light, deceiving the world. There's a legend also in the villages about something called Chuyachaki. Chuyachaki is when you're walking between villages, you're on the trail, and all of a sudden you see your mom, or maybe it's your dad, someone that's close to you, and you're like, "Hey, mom, I didn't know you were out here." And she's like, "Oh, yeah, here, follow me." And you go following your mom, and she takes you off into the jungle and gets you lost. And then when you're lost, she devours you. This is Chuyachaki. It's not really your mom. That's Chuyachaki. The only way that you can tell it's Chuyachaki and not your mom is looking at her feet. One of her feet is a normal human foot. The other foot is a wild boar hoof. So when you're looking at Chuyachaki, you're like, "Mom, hey, just a minute, let me check out your feet." You look at her, no, I see the hoof. "You're Chuyachaki, you're not my mom, I'm not following you." And I love to use that illustration when I'm preaching in the villages about, any kind of teaching that comes along. And there are false teachings that come from everywhere. The devil likes to come in as a false teacher, as an angel of light. You've got to look at the base of the teaching. Where's it rooted? Look at the feet of the teaching. No, you're not based in the Bible. Now, I see that hoof, you're Chuyachaki. Run from Chuyachaki. That's not your mom. We're in a spiritual battle. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness. We're in a spiritual battle. Let me give you this quote. This is by Samuel Chadwick. The devil laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray. Our spiritual weapons in the spiritual battle: sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and prayer. Those are the spiritual offensive weapons. The rest are defensive, as you keep reading through this passage in Ephesians 6. But prayer and the Bible. The devil trembles when we pray. Yeah, I'm really encouraged here in the morning, the time of prayer, and then just and before I came up again this evening, just going through some prayer requests and praying. I haven't seen that actually in a lot of churches that we've been able to visit. I encourage you, pray, as we're in the spiritual battle. In Proverbs chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, this is the passage, or one of the passages there in Proverbs, about the adulterous woman and how she entices a young man and causes him to fall. And really, the whole area of pornography, I really think pornography is very demonic. I mean, one click away on the computer, on the internet, you open up a whole world of demons. Run from it. Men, run from it. Listen to these words in Proverbs 7. And think of it in the context of pornography. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately, he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know that it would cost him his life. It will cost you your life. How many men that could have been maybe greatly used in the Lord's work really threw that opportunity away because of sexual impurity, or really falling into this dungeon of pornography. Run from it. Martin Luther said this: the loyalty of the soldier is proven in battle. The loyalty of the soldier is proven in battle. We're in a spiritual battle, and all of a sudden the temptation comes upon you. Prove your loyalty right there. Thank God for the temptation. This is an opportunity to prove my loyalty as a soldier. Who are you loyal to? One of the beliefs in the villages is about mermaids. There are mermaids that live in our river. I've never seen one, but everybody in the villages have seen the mermaids. It's incredible. They have whole cities of mermaids that live at the confluence of rivers, where one river flows into another one. Down there, there's just deep down, you have to look real hard. I can't really see them yet. I haven't been able to, but there are mermaids, and it's always, this is what always happens. A guy sees a mermaid. He's floating down river on his canoe, and he sees a mermaid. She's on a rock, and she's always facing the other way, and she's always combing her hair. And so the guy, he wants to see the mermaid, so he wants to get a better look. And so he sneaks up, behind her, and all of a sudden, she whirls around and grabs him and takes him down to mermaid prison. I'm serious. It's for real. I mean, everybody says this. I went into one village. The first time I heard about mermaids, I went into a village, Atina Misa, and I wanted to go for a swim in the river. And all the brothers and sisters there are like, no, you can't do that today. And nobody was washing their clothes. Nobody was bathing in the river for some reason. And normally they do. And finally, when I went down there, they finally told me, no, the reason you can't is there's been a mermaid sighting. We just saw mermaids down there, and they will get you. You can't go down there. I couldn't believe it. I went down to the next village, and I told the brothers there, the brothers in Atina Misa, the other village, that they all believe in mermaids. And they all looked at me, and they're like, it's true. We've all seen them. And everywhere, I mean, the brothers and sisters, I could not believe this. I don't know about mermaids, but I do know one thing. our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, stand firm. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, not in your own. You won't be able to do it. But we are in a spiritual battle. In John 10:10, it says this, and Jesus is speaking. He says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly." The thief, the devil, he comes to steal and pillage and destroy, murder. And the devil does this in different ways. In different cultures, he works differently, as I was just saying. And he knows, he has thousands of years of experience. He's like an angel of light. But Jesus has come to give life, to set people free, to give you abundant life. Those chains, chains to pornography, or chains to whatever the temptation is that you're struggling with, can fall off. Abundant life. One of the beliefs in the villages is about bufeos colorados. Bufeos colorados are freshwater, pink freshwater dolphins. Now those really do exist. I've seen them. They live in our river. Actually, National Geographic did an article on freshwater, pink freshwater dolphins that live way up the rivers of the Amazon and nowhere near the ocean. And we have them in our river. But the belief in the village is that these pink freshwater dolphins turn into gringos, white people, in the middle of the night. And they come into the fiestas, that the drunken fiestas that the villages often have, and they start to party with everybody. And then they always end up, these gringos that come in, they always end up raping and pillaging and destroying and murdering lots of people in the villages. And everybody believes this. And in fact, when I first arrived in the villages, people didn't know me, and they were all like, I kept on hearing people saying under their breath this term, bufeo colorado, bufeo colorado. And I was like, what is that? And finally I found out that's a pink freshwater dolphin, and they all thought that I might be one. And then I got asking some of the villagers more, and they said, well, this happened, our forefathers told us this, and we've passed the story down, but we all know it's true. Once, when we were having one of the fiestas at midnight, all the gringos used to always appear, and they'd murder all these people and rape and everything. So we decided at the next fiesta, when the gringos show up, everybody on the count of three is going to grab their gringo that they're dancing with. And so they all did it, and they grabbed their gringo, and the ones that they were able to grab turned back into the Bufeo Colorado. And the other ones that escaped out of their arms went running for the river and went swimming off across the river. And they were turned into a dolphin then. And this is what they believe. Now, I've never seen a real gringo that is turning into a Bufeo Colorado before. These things are hard to believe. But I do know that the devil works in different ways. And definitely, many people are held in bondage to fear of the devil. I've had many people, after I preach the gospel in their villages open air, they will come up to me and tell me, "Hermano Miqueas, I wish that I could come to faith in Christ. I understand what you're preaching. Every time you come to our village, you preach and you tell us about how Jesus Christ is God, came to this earth, lived the perfect life. He died on the cross for our sins. He took on the wrath of God the Father so that we don't have to. He was buried and he rose again on the third day, and now he offers us abundant life, and I want it." I mean, the guy, one time he was telling me the gospel, he's telling me the same message I just preached. I mean, he said it's so good, I wanted to get saved all over again. But then the guy said, "But I just can't, because I know if I give my life to Christ, I know that the Tunchi is going to be after me. Yakumama is going to get me. The Bufeos Colorados won't leave me alone. If I come to Christ, I can't. The devil will be after me." People in bondage to fear of the devil. Now, the devil works very, very differently in the culture here in the United States. trying to convince people in different ways, getting into the mind. The battle's in the mind. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Sow a thought. It starts with the thoughts, and then it goes right through the process. It takes you to a destiny. The battle is in the mind, your thoughts. If you can win there, you've won the battle. Protecting your mind and realizing your battle is not against your spouse or against your kids or against the neighbor or against your boss or coworker. Our struggle is against, not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, that you might be able to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore. We're in a spiritual battle. Let me read these words, and it's from a hymn that maybe you sing, Edith G. Cherry. We rest on thee, our shield and our defender. We go not forth alone against the foe. Strong in thy strength, safe in thy keeping tender, we rest on thee, and in thy name we go. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for reminding us these different verses that we're in a spiritual battle. Oftentimes we forget that. We start to think that the battle is with different people around us. Help us to protect our minds, knowing that that is really where the battle rages. The devil wants to put so many wrong ideas into our heads, using music, culture, the media, movies, TV, things that aren't even bad in and of themselves, but, oh God, just help us to be saturated with your word and to fight this spiritual battle with spiritual weapons, your word. Help us to just fill our minds with your word so that we might be effective in fighting this battle, and help us to be men and women of prayer. Oh God, I'm such a hypocrite. I need to do so much better. Please help. Help me. Put our lives into your hands, asking that you would help us to be victorious in the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.